She's very funny, and she's super cute. Her forehead's too big for me, but
dude, you and yours.
I married my perfect woman. I'm not.
That's very Seinfeld.
That
of
was,
you.
And I would like talk about girls, and then he would say no. Those like some super fine, attractive girl.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like nothing wrong with her.
No, that's not true though.
Her butt's a little big. Her legs. Yeah. I got to think about legs. I need certain kind of legs. I need special legs.
Yeah, I need not special legs, not Lieutenant Dan legs.
Magic legs.
Listen, I found my pervert girl, and that's what I want.
True story.
So when you come. So I can now, but I can still say other people have imperfections.
It's very.
I have the most imperfections out of everybody. That's what I love is that I'm the worst looking person.
There's no room for any more imperfections in this relationship because you have them all.
Yeah.
So that's cool.
There's nothing wrong with you, Dallas.
There's so many things wrong with me.
You're perfect.
Health wise, it's just a mess.
Yep. Plus your brain, you know.
My brain got a brain bruise a couple of weeks ago.
True that.
I finally am feeling better from that, thank God. That was
there
is a point where I'm like, well, this is just how I'm going to live my life now.
Were you actually concussed? Like, is that a thing?
I don't know what that means.
It means your brain suffered a blow that made it swell.
Oh.
In the brain.
Probably.
It suffers damage because of that swelling.
I was playing basketball and I whiplashed my head into the court when I fell. Back of the head.
That's where a lot of them happen.
And it was real loud and I guess the entire gym stopped moving when it happened. But I didn't get knocked out. I remember the whole thing. In fact, I had like PTSD for like a week and a half afterwards where I kept thinking about it and like getting really weird. And so I went to the ER that night. And the doctor came in and she asked me all these questions and it was hard because I just played 2 hours of basketball and I'm not in shape.
Right.
And even though
difficulty breathing? Yes.
Why not?
But well, no, she goes, I'm fat.
She literally goes, well, I'm chubby.
That's what we like to say.
She goes, she literally goes, do any of your limbs hurt and are you fatigued? And I was like, and I literally stopped her and I said, I played 2 hours of basketball today.
Look at me.
And I'm not in shape. So everything hurts and I'm real tired. And I was like, and that all would have been happening regardless of if I hit my head in the court. So it was kind of funny. And then she like felt my neck and my back and she was like, she literally said, Jesus Christ. That's what she said. I was like, okay.
Is that bad?
So she was telling me it was basically like I was in a bad car accident.
Yeah, that was...
That's how it feels?
That's what happened to my body.
The result
it was like
of
if
it.
I got in a bad car accident. And so I had a brain bruise and I had a slight concussion. And they were like, don't read or watch a lot of TV for like a week because your brain is recovering. So don't make your brain do extra work.
You're like, don't stimulate myself at all. Just sit down and order pizza. Perfect.
Well, it was weird because I was like, at first I was like, that's such bullshit. You know, like I didn't believe him at all. Like, it's the stupidest thing ever. Mm-hmm. And so they gave me some cool meds and I went home and I took like one of the meds. It was like a muscle relaxer and I knocked me right out. The next day I was writing a thing for the Kept Faith. And I had to like fix it as best I could and post it. And so I go into a coffee shop and I'm writing and literally like halfway through it, everything got fuzzy. I started to feel sick.
That's scary.
And I'm like, I'm a moron. They told me not
to
do this.
Don't use my brain.
And I'm doing this.
You know, you
and I post it, right? And people are like, I get so many texts and tweets and stuff at me going like, hey man, like I like what you wrote, but there are a lot of grammar problems. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yeah, like a lot of things are spelled wrong. And I go back and I look at it later that night and oh my God, it was like a 5-year-old wrote something.
Asterisk brain bruise.
I was so embarrassed. And so I just like, I took some time off and I was in the middle of writing a show and which I'm doing in May, and I had to stop. I took the last 2 weeks off from writing because I just couldn't do it.
That's crazy.
It's really weird. But
when the doctor said, make sure you don't read, and then you just kind of forgot everything else because you're saving your brain power. You don't want to like think about it too hard.
No, and I was reading a good book. Basically, this brain injury really pissed me off.
So you quit basketball.
Well, I'm supposed to play again Sunday. And I want to really bad, but my wife is like, no. And I get it.
You're like, I won't dive after a ball, I promise.
But I'm good at basketball.
You could be the guy with the, you know, the old running helmets on with the that go around and cover both ears and like a little back of your head.
Oh, that's what I want to do. BJ, we play basketball together.
We have played ball a few times.
I'm good at basketball. I'm not great.
I hear you're a three hawk. Like you just down threes all the whole game.
No.
Oh, no. I try for threes. I don't make them all.
Gotcha. Dallas is in the post. He's a post player.
I'm a post player. Nice. That's what I was in high school. I was on scholarship to play basketball. That was where my future was heading until I skateboarded and I wrecked my knee really badly and it was hard for me to play basketball, and then I went to theater school instead.
Perfect.
And I missed basketball, but I would have been terrible. I would have done fine in high school ball, and then it would have been, you know, hey, you get a scholarship to some all-girls basketball
team. I missed the opportunity to play in those organized sports like that. Like, I wish I could have played high school basketball. I wouldn't have been a star, but I would have been good. I mean, I would have, like, you know,
it'd have been fun.
I wasn't a star at all, but I led our league in rebounds, and that was like,
boom.
Hey, I'll take that.
Yeah,
and I was soaked by that, and that was like my contribution to the team. I was physical. It was fun, and that's what got me in trouble this game too. I'm a physical player. I'm not a mean player.
You're throwing elbows and stuff.
No, I'm not a mean player by any means. But like, I'm good on D. Like, I'm a good defensive player. That's mm-hmm. my strength of my game. And there was a dude there, Dustin Dickerson, who is the guy who puts the games together, a bunch of stand-ups. And
is he the one that pushed you?
He is. And he was getting really frustrated because no one could guard me in the post. And so he like threw a basketball at my knee. And then like when we were both reaching for a ball out of bounds, he tripped me in the air, and that's why I fell on my back and whiplashed my head into the court. Now when I get up, other people like Zoltan was playing, and he was like, "Oh no, you just fell! Like you're just fat, and you fell."
No, like, he tripped me.
And I'm like, "No, everyone else is saying he tripped me just because Zoltan and Dustin are buddies." Zoltan was backing him up, but everyone else was like, "Dude, he tripped you while you were in the air." So Dustin and I haven't spoken
all day with the check. He tripped me.
What is that from?
You know, you get that.
I don't.
Yeah, you do.
I got nothing on that either.
All day with the check. You voyamet. You tricked me. Pay the man.
Are you talking about Rounders?
Yes.
That's your John Malkovich impression?
Hey, you know. John Malkovich doing a Russian impression is not that great.
That's you doing your worst John Malkovich doing his worst Russian accent.
No, it's easier if you say, pay that man his money. You know?
That was not better.
He beat me straight up.
He beat me. It's okay. I'm still up 20,000 the last time I stick it in you.
You sat down with a mad Russian? I love that movie. Rounders is a great movie. Yeah. Extremely watchable.
Ed Norton is good in that one.
Ed Norton, yeah, you want to just kill him.
You just want to throttle him every
time.
Did
we start recording?
Yeah, we're going.
Let's breathe it in. Life moves pretty fast. Yeah.
They're going to appreciate you doing that on this show.
After they make our intro for
if
the next month.
If we ever play golf, it's never going
to
happen.
I just got a set of clubs, so you guys need to come to Temecula.
Yeah, for sure.
Because there's a golf course like 2 minutes from my house.
Probably costs $175 to play.
I have no idea.
Yeah.
You got some connections, you know, you can get us in there. You know.
Did you just rub your nose like connections?
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess is what you say, you know.
You have some cocaine connections? Yeah, can you get us in there?
I got a guy. Get us in the back way. Yeah.
Just put it up your nose. I'm sure it's pretty cheap. There's a lot of courses in Temecula. Nice. I moved to Temecula.
You ever golf?
And we golfed this weekend in Palm Springs. My short game is good. My long game is
a good combo.
It's opposite of me.
Oh, really?
I'll drive and then you can chip it in.
No worries. I will do that. Well, that's what I did for my dad growing up. I used to in summers when I was with my dad. He was a big golfer and I would caddy for him and I would putt for him. Like he would let me putt. And I got really good at putting. But driving,
nice.
It's hard to hit it straight.
Oh, dude, it's hard to hit it far and straight. It's a mess, man. But I'm great at par threes. We played a par three, and I was fine.
Nice.
That's cool.
I mean, it wasn't great. Sean O'Donnell won our league golf championship 2 years in a row now. He's won it.
Bastard.
He's good at golf. He played golf. He was CIF golf.
That's cool.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man.
Christian
High.
I thought he went to Grossmont. No?
No, Christian High, man.
Huh.
CIF golf. He won the champion. Well, not like he didn't do it, but he was on
his
the team that won the championship. Yeah.
Hey.
He's good, man. He's a good golfer. And Jeremiah Smith, who you know, I think, right?
It rings a bell.
Used to be a Biff at Sea Lion for a long time. He came in second place, and I came in fourth out of five.
One of the last times I golfed was with our boy Todd. Todd's good.
Golfing's fun, man.
Mm-hmm. We did the what you call it? You know, the memorial tournament for De La Cruz.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But not Victor, but
I don't know. I'm not gonna know.
Pete De La Cruz. Boom. Well, my memory's good.
Well done.
Yep.
Is that still happening?
I think so. I think it still happens.
Or did they get laid off too?
I think yeah. Oh, wasn't
what?
Wasn't.
Take a look at the things to try.
Oh boy, what Alexa, is
that? Alexa, stop.
What the?
We must have said something that sounded like her name, and
that's
she stole
Todd's
it.
Like home assistant person.
That's amazing.
It's from Amazon.
Did we start yet?
No, I keep trying, and you guys won't shut up.
All right, let's start.
Welcome to Life's a Binge, everyone. Visit lifesabinge.com and listen to other podcasts that we used to promote and we still do, like the Kept Faith on the Voice of San Diego Podcast Network.
Ooh, yeah.
Everything's Fine on, well, it's not our network anymore, but our friends from Everything's Fine. And This Week in Zoltan and the Degenerate Podcast and all those folks that we always like to promote. So check them all out. And most importantly, thanks for listening and leave us a rating and all that good stuff on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. And just like that, we'll start.
Boom.
Life's a binge.
Right?
Oh yeah.
Okay, well, let me get this out of the way.
Yeah, go for it.
First, hi guys.
Hey man,
who are you?
It has been a little while.
Yeah, people don't know who you are anymore.
Oh yeah,
not on our show.
Well, listen,
not on our show.
Oh yeah, okay. My name is Dallas.
Right on, Dallas.
Thanks for coming.
Nice to meet you. Yeah, what do you do? What do you? What's your story?
Dude, thanks for coming out, man.
Oh man, thanks for having me.
Thanks for your courage.
Got to get out of here in about 20 minutes.
Some things never change.
Glad we're all laughing at that.
Yeah. He's like, it's true.
No, I. I don't know. What did you want me to say?
How you good?
Thank you for your courage. That's a nice reference. I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm doing great. I'm obviously here promoting my stand-up record, which you guys were nice enough to let me come on and do.
Yeah.
It just came out a couple weeks ago, and the other day we got to number 10 on iTunes, which was very cool.
So seems amazing to me. Like,
yeah, it's amazing to me too, and I don't know what it means though. That's the problem.
Okay,
because I don't get any. So I released it independently.
Okay,
and I don't get any numbers back until the first set of numbers I'll get is in April.
Okay,
and then I'll get another set of numbers in May. And then I think after that it's going to be a couple more months or whatever. So they do them like quarterly.
Okay.
And but because of the way I released it, like I released it, took it down, released it again. There was a reason why I did that, but whatever. So I'll get. Jared knows. We could talk about it.
All right.
I had a track on there that was very, very offensive.
So you took it out,
and it was labeled the most offensive jokes I've ever written.
Uh-huh.
But when I like listened to it, I'm like, ah, man, I shouldn't have this on there.
You just sound like a dick.
Well, no, I don't sound like a dick. They're funny jokes, and even in the CD, I preface it for like 10 minutes. Listen, this is gonna be gnarly, like,
right?
These are horrible, horrible jokes. And
right.
If you don't want to hear them, I even tell the crowd, if you don't want to hear them, you can leave right now.
Right.
There's 3 jokes. They're going to be really bad. And so I give it enough preface time, and then I said the jokes, and they went over fine.
Yeah, it went okay.
The problem was...
Like live when you were recording
yeah,
them.
The problem is there was a really great riff in that track that I had with an audience member that was funnier than the jokes themselves, and I was really mad to cut that. I didn't care about the jokes. I didn't
know
what I mean.
Would you have to secure the permission from the person you're riffing with?
No, I couldn't tell you who it was right now at all.
Okay.
They didn't say anything back.
Oh, okay.
They left.
So their voice isn't like on the thing.
No. Okay. They left, and I made fun of them for leaving.
Yeah, the lady that went to
the lady stood up. I said, now's the time you got to go. If you want to leave, now's the time to leave. And she got up to leave, and I was like, see, there you go. And people started laughing, and I'm like, no, she made an adult decision. She didn't want to hear these jokes, and so she left to go take a huge shit. And it's fun. I mean, it's funny,
so good.
And it was really great. Like, it killed in the room that night, and it was really fun. But anyway, I just, you know, I told one of the jokes to a friend of mine.
So that wasn't the joke you took out?
No. That's out. That whole track is out.
Okay.
The whole track is. The track was about 5 minutes, and I took it out, and because I told one of one of the jokes, and she just looked at me and went, "Wow," and I was like, "Yeah, I don't feel right about it either." So I took it down, and then I put it back up.
What in the?
I took it down. I put it back up without that track.
Okay.
So that's why I'm gonna get first reports in April, and I'll get more reports in May.
If you Who are you in between on that picture you posted?
So I was in between Jim Gaffigan. Two Jim Gaffigan albums.
Right.
And then I was above John Mulaney and Kyle Kinane.
See, well, that doesn't... Is it just because nobody's bought their albums in such a long time and everyone's buying yours right now?
Well, I don't know. That's the thing. It's like, I guess I'll find out when I get numbers.
Like, yeah, like, is it weekly?
But that's what I don't know, because I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, cool, I made it to number 10. And for like 3 days, I was in the top 15. For like 3 days. I think I went down to like number 17. The first time I checked it, I was number 17 right above Weird Al. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, it was so stupid. But then I thought to myself, I was like, that could mean I sold 10 albums in the last 5 minutes. You know, who knows?
Yeah, I wonder
how the
what it is.
Works.
And so yesterday I checked and I was, you know, I was from like 50 to 75 for the whole day. And then today I'm like out of the top 100. So, I mean, and I don't know what it means. I have no idea.
Huh.
But it makes you feel really good.
Hell yeah, it does.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So like, because Christian Spicer released an album and it's like, oh, I'm like number 7. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
That seems amazing to me. That's amazing.
There's no way you're number 7. <There's>
I know you. How big can you be?
I saw Christian last night, by the way. It was really nice. For this guy Faraz Ozel, who's a San Diego comic, released his album just recently, and he was high up on all the charts, even on the Billboard charts. He was high up, and he's a funny guy. But I don't know what that means.
Who knows?
Right.
But it to me, it doesn't matter. I don't care.
Because it's nice.
I get to go, hey, I got to this height. You know, like, this is a thing that I got to do. And I did it by myself. You know, like, it was all, I don't have a label. I made up a label based on an inside joke between me and Sean O'Donnell.
That's fantastic.
It's actually a reference to the movie Back to the Beach. But yeah. So
Back to the Beach.
It's a great movie. Great movie. But anyway, the album is called An Evening of This. It's on iTunes, and it's not on Apple Music, so if you look up on Apple Music, you're going to be like, it's not there. And I'm like, yeah, it's not there. And the reason why is because I took it off, because it's a streaming service.
Want people to pay for the album, right?
And like, I found out that, like, same thing with Spotify. For those things, I need to, like, get, like, 100 streams to make a nickel.
Yeah.
Oh,
like,
really?
It's just ridiculous. And so I took it off because... it's independent. It's me doing it. Nobody gave me in advance. Nobody gave me any money to do it.
So then you get all of it.
I get a high percentage.
That's cool.
From iTunes and Amazon.
So and then and those two take a piece out of it?
I use the distributor. So the distributor takes a piece, and then iTunes and Amazon, whoever else, takes a little bit of a piece.
Huh.
So, but it's not bad. It's a good deal, and I'm happy to do it. So if you are listening to it, please go buy it on iTunes or Amazon. That I would appreciate that.
It's only $8.99.
It's only $9. It's $9. And
it's like 45 minutes.
45
long?
Minutes. Yeah. When I started doing stand up in 2010, I just wrote one liners for like the first 4 years. That's all I did. And then I got tired of it and I wanted to do something else. And so, but I still have these great one liners that I kind of told here
great
and there.
One-liners.
You're right.
They're $8.99.
They're $8.99. Right now,
fair deal.
You know, they're out of the top 100 one-liners. But I recorded all of them in one night in the summertime just to retire them. So they're all retired, and the only place you can hear them is on this record.
And
that's so cool.
It's a very good record. It is fun.
It's fun. Yeah. It was a really, really fun night, and I was so happy that people came out to the recording, and I was happy with the way it turned out. Matt Warburton and... Mark Matamoros, both guys that you guys know, they helped me a lot with the
recording,
with the mixing, and
we got to get Jared. We got to get up with Matt and Mark.
I'm good with them.
They're great, man.
Yeah. Because
they're two of the nicest guys in the world.
Yeah,
especially when we lose our ace in the hole, Todd Laroe. You know, we're gonna have to
do it ourselves.
We
should talk. I might have a solution for you guys.
Yeah,
we should.
Sweet.
But you know what I'm looking forward to? Speaking of that, is content from the Northwest for people that I know. Recorded by Todd, mixed into a show. Not necessarily Life's a Binge, but maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I want to do Life's a Binge stuff where you give a 5-minute thing about this movie that you love that no one has heard of.
Back to the Beach.
Back to the Beach, exactly.
So you want to do like segments. You want to turn it into like a segment show.
I mean, have
them every once in a while.
Yeah.
If somebody has something to say, then toss it in.
Yeah.
Word. But we can talk about that not on the air because
production
meetings aren't fun for people to listen to.
I disagree because they're involved in it. You know, our listeners are involved in what's going on.
I think BJ's right, and you should go buy my record. It's on iTunes and Amazon. It's only $8.99. It's called An Evening of This. Dallas McLaughlin. It's all my one-liners in one night. It's about 45 minutes.
If you listen, you can hear me laugh throughout the
whole
thing.
You can hear Jared. Yeah. Jared and AJ sat right in the front, and they laughed a lot. Dang, I
wish I was there laughing at it.
It was a good crack.
Something was up. I remember that night. It was very fun.
There's a lot of jokes that bombed pretty bad. And that's okay, because it was all the one-liners. All of them. Like, it was regardless of what was going to work and what wasn't going
to
work.
And did you, like, pretty much play it from one point to the next point?
I had a notebook, and I just did them in order of how they were written down. Mm-hmm. So that you can tell me, you can hear on the album several times, like, well, that page sucked, because I just did a whole page of jokes. Like, I cut out, some of them had to be cut out because the sound issues, technical issues. Uh-huh. Mainly my fault, just being off mic too far or something that or whatever. But only a few. So it was fun.
You're happy with it?
I'm happy. I got real drunk. It was great.
Cool.
It was real fun. Yeah, but anyways, good. Go back. But let's talk about what we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I'm excited about this.
Cool. Oh, man, dude. So am I.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about Steve Martin.
Steve Martin movies.
Dude, Steve Martin.
Before, real quick, we got to sidetrack. Before we dive into the movies.
Oh, yeah, right. Buy my album. It's on iTunes and Amazon.
I want to hear the story about when you met Steve Martin.
So what's funny is the Comedy Store in Hollywood invited me up last night to do a show called Bedtime Stories, which was nice to get. I've never been there before to do shows. I've only been there a couple times, and to get booked there, it was nice. It was very cool, very cool. A lot of really famous stand-ups walking around. Just
anyone who's performed there, like.
Yeah, I mean, with like Jeff Richards and Brody Stevens and to mid-level guys like Fahim Anwar, who's really brilliantly funny, and just a lot of people. Right. Jeremiah Watkins, who's on Roast Battle and stuff. Anyway, so I told this story for Bedtime Stories because somebody got up and told a celebrity story, and I was like, oh, you know, I should tell this story. I've never told it on stage. I wrote a whole thing for So Say We All and did like a 12-minute story on it for So Say We, like a written out thing.
The whole like spoken word thing. Like,
well, not spoken, like a story.
Just a story.
Like, I wrote a story and then I told it on
like
stage.
Like kind of mothy.
I spoke words.
Okay. Yeah. So they were spoken
words.
Yeah,
mothy. No, you're right.
Like a moth. Like a moth. Okay.
The theme was something. I forget what the theme was. And I told this story. But
Steve Martin stories? Was that the theme?
The story is we were sitting backstage at American Comedy Co. downtown. It was a weekend. I was opening for Norm Macdonald, who that like in itself was just
awesome.
Like amazing.
Yeah.
Sweetest guy ever. And really cool. Listened to my set, like would tell me his favorite jokes from my set.
Impressive.
Dude, when you do here's the thing, when you do comedy, like when you get to a level, like, you know, I'm not even mid-level, I'm below mid-level, but I'm not low-level.
Yeah.
But I'm close to mid-level, which is nice. But you get the chance to open for some dudes or feature for some people, and like when you meet these guys like Norm Macdonald or Sklar Brothers or Jim Kirkman or other people, I've Greg Fitzsimmons, I've, you know, featured or opened for all these guys. When they actually go and listen to your set,
yeah,
and then talk to you about your set, it's the coolest thing in the world.
That is cool,
because they don't have to. Why the hell would they?
Yeah, I'm curious. Is there a lot of people in the comedy business that don't, or just like, I'm better than that, I'm the headliner, I don't give a shit about
now,
anything?
Here's the thing,
or,
majority, like,
or they hate everybody who's
the
good.
The majority don't, and I don't blame them. And I don't think it's because I'm above everything. I think there are definitely a couple people I've met that were like that. but I don't think that's the reason. I think the reason is mainly like they're preparing.
Yeah,
or
they're off in the corner doing
their
thing.
They're doing
their
thing.
Mind,
you know, they're kind
of
mentally preparing. Or they're running late. Sometimes that happens where if they're staying across the street in the hotel, like ACC, they stay across the street at the Andaz. So sometimes they just like they literally have been doing promo all day on the radio. They sleep until like 7 and then they walk over.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't never offended by it except for a couple of times when I'm like, nobody knows who you are. You're an asshole. Anyway, Norm, you know, is like when I did David Tell, I not this really recent time, but about a year and a half ago, I opened for David Tell, and he like watched my entire set and then got up on stage and like referenced a couple of my jokes on stage.
Nice.
And tied my jokes into his jokes. And I'm like, I don't even know what to do right now. Like, my mind was exploding. And he was like the sweetest guy afterwards. But anyway, Norm was great. We sat back on the stage and talked about old comedy like the whole weekend. He just drank coffee after coffee after coffee. That's all he did. And, you know, he's like, eh. Like, that's how he talks.
Right. Yeah.
It's not like a bit. That's how he is.
Hey, Dallas.
But he riffed one of the funniest jokes ever one night. He would go, because the owner went back and told him that he only wanted him to do an hour. And Norm MacDonald's like, why? And he's like, because that's, you know, we want to do an hour, keep the shows tight. And he's like, okay. And like the owner leaves, and the feature on the weekend, this guy Sean O'Connor, very funny. He goes, "Oh man, he shouldn't have told Norm that." And he's like, "Why?" And he's like, "Cause he'll just do as long as he wants now." And he did every show. It got longer and longer and longer. So one night he riffed this great joke during the weekend where he's like, you know, he's like, "Yeah, dude, I wish people were like dogs, you know, because dogs love everybody, you know, like dogs, they don't have any opinions of anybody, they don't have any." You know, I don't think anything about anybody, you know. There's, you know, like Hitler had a dog, you know. And when Hitler got home, the dog was like, "Yay, Hitler's home. Yay." he riffed it on stage, and he got back, and Sean O'Connor and I were like, "Dude, that was the funniest thing ever."
That's funny.
So he like worked that whole bit out the rest of the week. It was just really a fun weekend. So the last night we're sitting there, Norm's on stage, clearly an hour and a half like of a set. And we're
do they put a light on?
Oh, yeah, but what's he going to do? What are they going to do?
I'm just curious if Norm MacDonald's mic up?
Right.
I mean, if the crowd's with him, nobody cares. Yeah. You know, the crowd is with him. But we're backstage, and we're, like, so tired. It's really long. And this guy, Jimmy Calloway, was a day manager there for a while, and he also a funny comic. But he comes backstage, and he's like, "Hey, Steve Martin just walked in." And I'm like... Me and Sean kind of were like, come on.
Bullshit.
Yeah, right? Like, what are you talking about? Like, it would have been the weirdest joke ever, right? And I'm like, so stupid, Jimmy. And he's like, "No, man. Steve Martin just walked in and Paul Simon's parking the car." And for some reason, like, this made it more believable to us.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were like, oh my God. And we freaked out because, like, here's the thing. Steve Martin, for me, people use hyperbole all the time. But for me, Steve Martin is the reason I do entertainment, like not just comedy,
right,
but growing up and seeing all the stuff he's done and falling in love with everything he did from a young age, like I saw The Jerk when I was like 10. You know, it's just like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, LA Story, Roxanne, my top five favorite movies of all time is My Blue Heaven. A lot of people would disagree with me, but I don't care. It's a great movie with four of the funniest jokes ever in the history of America. One of the things I do is a reference to that show, that movie. Wally Bunting is a.
So. I find, you know what? Only this year, like only watching My Blue Heaven about 3 weeks ago or less with my girlfriend.
Yeah,
I was like, Wally Bunting. I literally just got it after 15 years or so. Like or so,
it's great. It's this little tiny character in the movie, but it's so funny. Me and Sean thought the name was so funny that that's where the Wally Bunting came from. But anyway, so I'm just like, this is not a real thing to me that Steve Martin's like, because he doesn't go hang out like the stories of people meeting Steve Martin are rare. It's not like Bill Murray where he'll just walk up to you out of like a Chili's and be like, "Hey man, what's up?" And you're like, "What?"
Yeah.
And then he'll walk away. Like Steve Martin just doesn't hang out and do stuff. And so I was just like, what the hell, you know? And I'm thinking, well, he's got to know Norm MacDonald. Like, they got Saturday Night Live. They got to know each other, and that's why he's here. Mm-hmm. And so Norm gets off stage. I go up on stage, close out the night, and go like, "Hey, okay, everybody, tip your waitresses, whatever, blah, blah, blah." And I run backstage, and Norm's like kind of like, whoa, like kind of freaking out, kind of pacing. And I'm like, yeah, Steve Martin's here. And he's like, "Why do you think he's here?" And I'm like, "I don't know, probably to see you, like, you know?"
And he's on TV,
and
remember?
And like his name's on the marquee, and I'm like, "Well," and he's like, "Yeah, but yeah, it's so weird. Why is he in town? Why is he in San Diego?" And I was like, "Well, I don't know, you know, like I'm not sure." But then I remember that his musical Bright Star was at the Globe at the time, and so I was just sitting there, and like I'm thinking in my head, like, "Oh man, we're gonna hang out. Like we're all gonna hang out with Steve Martin tonight. Like Norm and him are buddies, and we're gonna go hang out. It's gonna be the best." Like, we're going to go get drinks with Steve Martin.
God, and so, even just saying that is like...
right? And yeah. So, like, I'm go sitting ahead. There, and, like, the show, people are leaving, and Norm's, like, kind of freaking out. I'm like, "Hey, I'm like, do you want me to go get him and bring him back?" And Norm's like, yeah, go get Steve Martin. And I'm like, okay. And so I walk out of the room, and as I'm walking from the backstage to the back of the club, like, I'm thinking to myself, where did my life take a turn to where Norm MacDonald just told me to go get Steve Martin?
Right.
I'm like, this will never get better. And, like, so I get there, and there he is, and Paul Simon's standing next to him, and he's sitting down, and I go up to him, and like, hey, Steve, Norm would love if you came backstage because he'd like to say hi. And Steve Martin goes, oh, yeah, we're not going to do that. And I was like, I froze, man. I was like,
all my dreams dashed.
I thought it was like, I froze for like 10 minutes just staring at him. You know, I don't know how long it was, but I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, oh my God, like, do Norm and Steve hate each other? And like, Norm just played a joke on me. Like, yeah, go get Steve and see what happens, you know? So I was like freaking out, and I'm just standing there looking at, like, literally just staring at him. And then he turns to me, he's like, I'm kidding. And I'm like, oh, okay. So, like, we God. All go back. So Steve Martin, Paul Simon, Edie Brickell was there because she wrote the music for Bright Star.
Yeah.
So we all go backstage, you know, and Steve Martin's cousin or something, like, lives in La Jolla. Or not cousin, sorry, nephew. So they all come back, and we're all in the room standing in a circle, and everyone's introducing themselves.
That was the
themselves.
Nephew there, too, or no?
Yeah, the nephew was there. And they're all going around, and Norm's introducing everybody. And he's like, this is Sean. You know, he's my feature, and he's a really funny comic. And Steve Martin goes, oh, you're a funny comic, huh? Tell me a joke. And, like, you could see Sean O'Connor, God. Like, face just freeze.
Oh. Which one do I pick?
Because, like, it's like your uncle at Thanksgiving. He's like, oh, yeah. You're a comic, huh? Yeah, tell me a joke.
Yeah, tell me something funny. You know? Make me laugh, clown.
And so you could tell Sean was like, I don't know what to do. And Norm's like, tell him a joke, Sean. Like, tell him a joke. Like, he was like, don't embarrass me. And he's like, tell him a joke. And, like, Steve Martin's like, I'm kidding. He's like, don't you hate when people do that? And I'm like, he's like, I haven't done comedy in 30 years, and people still go, hey, tell me a joke, Steve. And I'm like, that's amazing. And so then I'm like, well, we're going around the room. It's going to get to me in a second. I'm going to have one of my best one-liners locked and loaded in case he says it, because I'm going to impress him. And so it gets to me, and Norm's like, and this is Dallas. He's been opening the weekend. And Steve Martin goes, oh, you're a comic too, huh? And yeah, I was ready. And his nephew was standing next to me. His nephew goes, yeah, he was really, really funny, like, to me. And I'm like, oh, that's the coolest. Like, I swear to God, in my head, like, I got a boner, like, immediately. I was so, like his nephew just told him I'm really funny. Like, it, you know, like, come on.
Yep.
I didn't have to say it. Like, right. His nephew. I promise I'm funny. Like,
Uncle
his
Steve,
nephew.
I really this guy's funny. Yeah.
So it was the coolest thing. And so Steve Martin goes, how about you tell me a joke? And I was ready. He's like, I'm kidding. I'm like, all right. So we're standing there. My wife's texting me a ton because she's a humongous Paul Simon fan.
Uh-huh.
Love Simon and Garfunkel. Like, we have a cat named Simon, named after Paul Simon. We used to have a cat named Garfunkel. Well, she had a cat named Garfunkel. He ran away before we met. And loves Paul Simon. So she's freaking out. She's super pissed she's not there. And we're standing back there, and we're just talking. And Steve Martin just starts, like, talking, like, telling us, like, stories. And he starts talking about stand-up. Because, like, here's the thing about stand-ups that you don't know, like, if you don't know. Stand-ups love talking to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of the best parts about being a stand-up is standing in a circle in a parking lot and just talking about comedy.
Oh, yeah.
And that's, like, all Steve Martin wanted to do. And he just was, like, talking about stand-up and comedy. And we're sitting there like, oh, my God. And slowly, Paul Simon, like, goes and sits down on the couch. And it was, like, that girlfriend or wife that's, like, found her way in the circle of comics. He's like, oh, guys, here we go. Literally just goes and sits
down
by himself.
He's a music legend.
Right?
Yeah. That's all.
One
that's
of the
all.
Greatest songwriters in history. And Edie Brickell is, like, standing there, and she kind of drifts in and out and is talking to Paul Simon. And he's just talking, and he, like, makes a My Blue Heaven reference. Like, he goes, like, oh, he's like, I'm going to tell a story. He's like, it's an anecdote, which is from My Blue Heaven.
Nice.
And yeah. No one else got it. But I'm like, I wanted to be like, I get it. And I made eye contact with him when he said it. But yeah, he, you know, whatever. He moved on from it. But he was told some stand-up stories that were, like, great, fun stand-up stories. And he goes into this really long story about stand-up. And, like, it's like, he's such a great storyteller that we're listening, and everyone's listening. We're waiting for this, like, big payoff, right? And he finishes the story, and everyone's just standing there, and we're waiting, and he's like, and that's it. That's the story. And we're like, oh, he's like, I told you, I don't do comedy anymore. That's the story.
There's no punchline.
And I'm like, oh, my yeah. God. And so we take pictures, and he has I had an iPhone 4 at the time. It was a mess. And we so he my phone was the only one that was charged, So I'm taking group photos, and Steve Martin looks at it, and he's like, oh, your phone is terrible. And I'm like, I know, man, I'm sorry. And he's like, nobody has a better phone. Nobody has a better phone. And Paul Simon's like, well, I do. But like, clearly no one was getting Paul Simon's phone.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, yeah. Can you text me?
Yeah, just send me that photo, Paul.
And Paul Simon kept like drifting out of the photos. Like he didn't want to be in the photos. Uh-huh. And like Steve Martin kept going, Paul, get in the photos. And so like they take a photo. So there was a photo with all of us in one photo. And it was like, it's me, Paul Simon, Steve Martin, Norm MacDonald, and Sean O'Connor, like the stupidest dummy in the bag. Like, hi, I'm with these guys tonight. And
that's so cool.
And then so Steve Martin, we're standing there, we're talking, and he's like, let me see your phone. He looks at it, and he's like, man, he's like, these pictures are terrible. And I'm like, I know, I'm sorry, and I'll try to fix them. And he's like, he spits on the back of my phone, on the lens part, and rubs it on his leg. And then he's like, hey, we should take one of those selfies. And I'm like, yes, we should do
absolutely
that.
Absolutely should.
Please,
so, like,
take all my selfies with my phone.
He turns the camera to me, and we take a photo, and he's like, smile. It's my Facebook profile photo.
It has been. Hasn't since
changed
that
since
day.
That night.
I would never, ever change it.
It'll never change. I don't care. My daughter has been born since then. It doesn't matter. It will never change. and so it was ridiculous. And he talked for a long time. Like, he just sat around and talked. I mean, we were there back there for 45 minutes just chatting, and I'm still thinking to myself, oh, we're all gonna hang out. But then like Norm's like, why are you here, you know, why are you in town? He's like, oh, my musical just opened, Bright Star, and we came downtown to have a couple drinks, so we saw your name on the marquee and we're here, stopped in to say hi. And he's like, oh. And Norm's question is like, how do you write a musical? And immediately I'm like, oh, we're not hanging out.
Yeah.
We're not hanging out. Norm's geeking out just as much as we are. And then I go over to Paul Simon, because I'm like, I have to talk to Paul Simon. So I go over to Paul Simon, and I'm like, hey, I'm a huge fan of yours, but I want you to know, like, my wife, she's an enormous fan of yours. Like, she's so mad she's not here. She just loves your music so much. And he's like, oh, well, thank you. And in my head, I'm like, he's not getting it. So I'm like, no, you don't understand. We have a cat, and his name is Simon, after you. And I was like, we had a Garfunkel, but he ran away. And he looked at me, and he just looked at me, right? And then he turns and he just walks away. Doesn't say anything. Just looked at me and walked away. And I'm like, nah, that's appropriate. That's a fine response to that. Because I'm like, you're the greatest songwriter probably in American history.
Probably.
And,
I honor you by saying
and
like
I just,
cat.
Like an idiot, just told you we have a cat named after you. And then I hang out for a little more. I walked him to the elevator. And before the elevator was like there, I was like, oh, man, I got to say goodbye somehow. And say something like, do I ask for a job? Like, I didn't know what to do, you know?
Right.
So I was just like, thank you to Steve Martin. And he literally like goes, you know, like leans out and he's like, no, thank you. And then he gets back and I'm like, that's fucked. Like, it was just like, and the elevator closed and they're gone. And I was just like, and I tweeted at him a couple of days later, because he kept telling Norm if he wanted to come see Bright Star, he would give him tickets. Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I hope that offers for everybody. Like,
tweet the picture of you and him.
And then, no, I tweeted him later on, and I was like, you know, a day later or whatever. I was like, hey, I was like, remember when we all hung out last night or something like that? I was like, I'd love to see Bright Star. And he never replied to me. That's fine. But
I'm sure
you
would.
Yeah, but dude,
that's
it was
so
like
great.
The coolest thing
any,
ever.
Any Edie Bacrell interaction or no?
We met and shook hands, but I don't know.
Now, did you ever listen to any of her?
Yeah, like, I've heard Edie Bacrell.
I mean, like, because, like, personally, like, I listened to Shooting Rubber Bands at the Stars to mm-hmm. death.
Oh, see,
literally to death.
Yeah, I'm not a big, I don't know.
No, see, that's
I wouldn't know.
So the next day when you post this picture, that for me just seemed, what in the hell?
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden,
uh-huh.
Dallas is with Steve Martin
mm-hmm.
and hearing the story and like, what? And Edie Bricell and Paul Simon were there.
Uh-huh.
I was losing my mind, and I was thinking like, what I would say to each of them, you know, like,
well,
Steve Martin, of course, I'd lose my mind,
yeah.
and not be able to say anything appropriate. But Paul Simon, I'd be like, do you understand? Like, we listen to Graceland so much, and then Edie Bricell is like, you represented this entire summer for me. You know, we listen to this album so much.
Well, that's the thing, is it's weird because I try to always stay away from my idols because I don't, what are you going to say? Like, what are you going to say to them that they've never heard?
That's what I was going
to
say. Do you think it gets not necessarily old, but do you think they get tired of, like, hearing they're amazing? You know what I mean? Like, to a certain extent.
Yeah, sure, but.
Well, that's the thing, and I think that I think you get to a point where you walk around and you just know. Like, you know that everyone in that room is like, holy shit, there goes one of the greatest songwriters in the history of songs.
Yeah, you tell me to do like, anything, and there
goes one of the
it.
Greatest yeah. comedians yeah. in the history of comedy.
You're like, in a comedy club, and maybe the greatest comic of all time,
in my
maybe,
mind, the greatest.
Yes, is there, and hanging out and talking shop
with one of the greatest stand-ups of the modern era, Norm Macdonald. Like it's like you sit there and you go like. Like, I mean, it still, to me, isn't real. Well, I still look back and I'm like, if I didn't have that photo, I wouldn't have believed it happened.
It's almost like a masterclass that you didn't have to pay for. You know what I mean?
No, and it's like you just got to hang out. The things I got out of it, one, is that, that Steve Martin is tortured to this day because every good stand-up is tortured. Like, every good comic is sad all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why we get up on stage, is to forget how sad we are and make other people laugh and take a little piece of that home with us. Mm-hmm. And, he still has that, and you fill that void by hanging out with stand-ups and stuff. Like, there's this great need to connect with other stand-ups and tell stories that only they're going to get. And the fact that he still wanted to do that, mm-hmm. like whatever it is, 40 years after he did his last stand-up show, or 30 years, whatever it is, like just blew my mind. Blew my mind that he wanted to talk shop and make Paul Simon wait. Like, that to me is just like freaking A. Like, to be in that level. And like, yeah, I just think, what are you going to say? Like, when we met Gene Wilder at a book signing, me and Matt Thompson and Brad, we were like, what do you say? And the guy was like, the guy who worked at Borders was like, what are you going to say to him? And we're like, oh, I don't know. And he's like, you should say, it's Frankenstein. And I'm like, and I literally,
no.
I looked at him and Matt Thompson looks at the guy and goes, I'm definitely not saying that.
Yeah. Like, nope.
And I just thought it was so funny because you're not going to say that. You can't say that.
No, that's Gene Wilder's another one. Like, what do you say to him?
Yeah,
what do you say to him?
And like, I mean, I know Bill Cosby's, you know, not appropriate to talk about anymore, but I met Bill Cosby one time and like, I literally didn't say anything to him on purpose because I'm like, what am I going to say to him? This was years ago before everyone knew him.
He was untouchable.
But when he was untouchable. And I'm like, what am I going to say to Bill Cosby? Like, what do you say to Bill Cosby? Hey, man, you're funny. Like, So it was weird, but that's why it was so nice is that with Steve Martin was that we just got to hang out. Mm-hmm. There wasn't a need to say anything. We were all just kind of on the same level for 45 minutes. Like,
it's so cool.
It was really amazing.
Yeah, that is, yeah.
But like, I mean, that's, you know.
As opposed to you running into him, you know, at a
yeah, he was there
mall.
To hang out.
Yeah.
You know, which was cool. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't get better than that. And then I released my album, An Evening of This, available on iTunes and Amazon for $8.99.
And he bought it.
He bought it. He said it's a really good
album. Steve Martin bought it, so you should buy it too.
So Steve Martin has a philosophy, or maybe it was one of his secrets to doing stand-up, that I have embraced in my performance career.
What's that?
Well, his thing was like, if you want to be funny, you have to make an agreement. You reach an agreement with the audience. You and the audience agree that you're funny. And then once you have that agreement, whatever you do is acceptable. And so I use that you are entertaining, that you make an agreement with your audience that you are entertaining. And mm-hmm. once you both have that agreement, you can do a lot of stuff that's entertaining and you're going to get away with everything.
Yeah.
And so...
Yeah, his book, Born Standing Up, is amazing.
I think that was in that. I think that was what it was.
He does this thing where he, his books, his novels are some of my favorite novels. Shop Girl and Pleasure of My Company. He wrote these great essay books, Pure Drivel and Cruel Shoes.
Cruel Shoes.
He's just a really fantastic writer. And I love his books.
I didn't know that Shop Girl was a novel.
Shop Girl, well, it's a novella.
So then did he write the screenplay?
He wrote the screenplay and he was in it.
Well, I know he was in it, but like I just didn't know.
Yeah, he wrote the screenplay
based on his own book.
Yeah, he wrote the book.
That's so cool.
And it was a really popular book too. But he's just one of those dudes where he like sings and he dances and you know it's just amazing to me.
I very 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 much want to take his masterclass that's on my Facebook feed
one?
Like crazy.
Yeah, the online one.
But they know that I love C. Martin, so.
Well, there's a night he's coming to town with Martin Short.
I was just going to mention, I even looked it up because on the way here, I saw it on the billboard for SDSU, and it's on Saturday, August 12th. Steve Martin and Martin Short. I have no idea.
Where at?
SDSU?
Like
the arena, probably.
The outdoor arena?
It's an indoor one.
The big one where they play basketball? I mean,
probably.
I don't know.
That's like 15,000.
Oh, that'll sell out. He told this great joke. They said like he doesn't really do stand-up anymore, but or he doesn't do it at all. But Jerry Seinfeld, I guess, like made him come out one night for the show. And do, and he did, I guess he like did like old stand-up jokes, but he told this joke that I've never heard before, but apparently it was like an old standard in a set, was where he goes, he's like, I was just, he's like, you'll have to excuse me, I was just backstage and I used the restroom and I saw a sign that said employees must wash hands, so I'm just waiting. It's the stupidest joke of all time, but I'm like, that's like,
that's funny. Yeah,
I mean, like, that's the thing about Steve Martin is like, he developed a whole new style of comedy, which is anti-comedy. Like, that's what it was called, anti-comedy. It was just like, I'm just gonna go up and be silly and stupid and do the weirdest things we can possibly do because we're all gonna have a good time tonight. Like, we're taking this down to the basic level of just having fun. And so when I started doing stand-up, I mean, that's one of the reasons why I got out of one-liners, was because like, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't having fun. I mean, I was having fun, but the audience was just there for the jokes. I'm like, this needs to change. Like, we all need to have a good time. I saw that changed with Patrice O'Neill, and was one of those great comics who every night would be a little different. Like, he would do the same jokes, but they'd all be always be a little different. And that's because he was like, I want every night to be different. And I went and saw Craig Robinson live, and he literally just had a party. Like, he played, came out and played keyboard, did a bunch of covers that everyone knew, so they would all sing along. And then he would tell jokes here and there. He'd have people come up and dance. Like, he literally just had a party. And I'm like, this is all what I want to do.
This is what I want to do.
This is Steve Martin. This is, you know, having fun and being silly. And it's just, he's such an inspiration. And that's the thing I love about his movies, is like, his movies are just silly. Like, you know, like, you look at his movies and like, L.A. Story,
I love L.A. Story,
is one of the most brilliant movies, but he's talking to a street sign. You know, it's like, the elements are silly.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Roxanne, extremely silly.
I love that movie.
Yeah, Roxanne's solid.
It's so, but.
Well, just like the, like, if you want to like talk about extreme silliness, like, that's where The Jerk like shines the best. Where it's like, are you kidding me with this? Like, this is never gonna, this is not based in reality at all.
Yeah.
And it's just so good. You just go along with the ride from the very beginning, just the way it's set up. You're just like, okay. Oh, he's telling the story. Okay, okay, what's going on here? Wait a second. Wait, he's rich? Wait, hold on. And you're just like trying to follow along the story, and it doesn't make any sense.
And as somebody who, like, at that time, like, Steve Martin was like so popular before The Jerk came out, that their comedy albums, at least at my young age, I don't know when that came out, but I was probably 10 or so when the first time Let's Get Small came out, or and Wild and Crazy Guy, and I think those were before The Jerk, but
yeah
but they had like little bits, so that when The Jerk came out, it was great, because it was like, Steve Martin's in a movie. And The Jerk came out, and they had some of the jokes that you remember. I was born a poor black child. You know, it was like just something he threw away, but he wrote it into the storyline. And, oh, man, it just changed, well, it changed lives, dude. Yeah. It changed everyone's lives.
And people say it changed, like, that movie changed comedy, and they say it because of that first line. The first line of that movie is, I was born a poor black child. And, like, that is unbelievable. Like, for that time period, and for, you know, like, what comedy was doing, like, people, and people talk about it, like, that single start of a movie changed everything. And it's crazy, because I'm sure he was just like, this is funny. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sure he wasn't like, this is gonna change the world. It was just like, this is a funny line.
He just, made himself giggle.
Like, it's just, I mean, The Jerk is amazing. There's a movie that people, that he did after The Jerk, that a lot of people don't know about, called Pennies from Heaven.
You mean Penises from Heaven?
Penises from Heaven?
I did a quick Google search, and my mouse was sitting over the thing, and that's what I
read. Of this movie, Penises from Heaven? I'm like, what?
Jared, don't lie.
You mean, no, that's what it says.
That happened right before you came in.
I was talking about Jared. So Jared Googled Penises from Heaven.
No, he Googled Steve Martin, and then he's like, you ever heard of Penises from Heaven? I'm like, no. He's like, it's a Steve Martin movie. I'm like,
it might have been
like Pennies, and I was like, move my mouse. Yep, that's the one.
Pennies.
It might have been a better movie.
The old classic, like porn version of every movie that's ever been.
Pennies
is from Heaven.
Penises from Heaven.
Yeah,
it's a weird movie. If you ever,
I saw it a long time ago in the theater, and I remember like it was too much.
It's very strange.
Yeah, it was like bizarro.
It's very, very, very strange, and it's dark.
Yeah. He did a couple like that, like The Lonely Guy. That's a bizarre movie.
But you know what's great about that movie is him and Charles Grodin are like amazing in that movie.
See, now I need to see it again because I see it at a young age, like a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You take in some art, you take in someone's creative output at a young age where you can't really appreciate it. But then you see it again as an adult and it's like, this is brilliant.
Him and Charles Grodin are so good in The Lonely Guy. And then All of Me is an amazing movie.
That's fun. That's fun.
The Man with Two Brains is ridiculous.
Kathleen Turner's butt.
It's hard. It's hard to like go through and find like a real stinker in Steve Martin's catalog.
Stinker, no. I mean, but I think that like those two movies before that, The Lonely Guy and Pennies from Heaven, are ones that where you'd be like,
Pennies from Heaven is weird.
It's weird. They're both weird.
I
mean,
I like The Lonely Guy, though.
It's so depressing. It's such a depressing movie.
It's a dark comedy.
It is dark.
Well, what about,
I do. I need to watch them all as an adult.
From like late 80s and early 90s, he was just the guy, if you were going to have like a comedy or even like a dramedy movie, like Father of the Bride came out in what, 91, 92?
Yeah.
And that's a great movie, and a lot of people don't even like put that on the list because they're like, it's not really, you know, Steve Martin comedy, it's whatever. But like both Steve Martin and Martin Short are phenomenal in that movie.
See, now,
and like Diane Keaton's great.
Diane Keaton.
I had a fight with Sean O'Donnell on our podcast about Diane Keaton being better than Meryl Streep because I think that she might be.
No. She's more attractive in her heyday than Meryl Streep.
How do you prove me wrong?
Yeah.
Meryl Streep is good.
Diane Keaton is good too.
Prove me wrong. Tell me one movie Meryl Streep was in that was better than The Godfather or Annie Hall or Manhattan or The Godfather Part 2 or Bullets Over Broadway or, I mean, tell me.
Bullets Over Broadway is great. I love that movie.
So just let me know when you get to it.
All right. Well, anyway.
What, The Iron Lady?
First Wife's Club. I
never saw Iron Lady.
Listen, Diane Keaton had some bad movies, just like Meryl Streep's had a ton of bad movies. That's the thing. Meryl Streep had four good movies, and then everything else has been, that's okay. It's Meryl Streep.
Death Becomes Her is phenomenal. That's phenomenal.
But she's not the best part of that movie.
I like, what's
the best part
one
of the movie
with,
is Diane Keaton.
What's the one with,
she's not in it.
With Philip Seymour Hoffman, and he's the priest.
Doubt?
Doubt's the shit.
Doubt's a really good movie.
Yeah,
is she in that movie?
Yeah, isn't she? She's the older one, right?
Meryl Streep or Diane Keaton?
No, Meryl Streep.
I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure it's her.
I think that is her. Yeah, she was great in that movie.
Yeah,
it's a good film.
But I mean, that's the thing. It's like, well, you look at Diane Keaton in The Young Pope. She's amazing.
You like The Young Pope?
I didn't say I liked it. I think she's really amazing.
The Young Pope is
interesting. I haven't finished it yet. It's interesting and different, but she's great. Jude Law is great in it, too. The performances, I think, are really awesome. Anyway, we'll have to get on Diane Keaton. But I'm just telling you, I think she's probably so underrated, it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I like her a lot. She's very good.
But that's why, I mean, I think that's why Father of the Bride should be on the list of, like, some of the better ones. Because, like, that's, like, he's just a real guy in that movie, you know? And I'm super relatable, I guess.
I have a big crush on the bride. I forget her name.
Oh, yeah.
She's been in a few things, but she's got a look.
She's super cute, yeah.
She's got a look to her that just like, oh, she's
I'm trying
super
to remember.
Cute.
I think it's
Kirsten or something, or Karen.
In the movie or
in real life? I think her name's Kay something, but she's attractive.
I think there's something about Steve Martin. I could be making this up. I mean, not making it up, or could be making up the fact that people talk about it. But I think he's the only one that's had like a irrefutable like hit comedy in like the 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s.
Because
he
had believe it.
The Jerk. He had The Jerk. What?
Jerk.
Well, Parenthood was in the 80s. In the 80s.
Was it in the 80s?
I think it was in the late 80s.
Probably like
Parenthood
80s,
was like 88
7,
or 89.
Yeah. I love him in the
But he had The Jerk. And then, you know, pick any one of the movies from the 80s, uh-huh. L.A. Story
right.
or Roxanne or whatever. And then Father of the Bride in the 90s, Father of the Bride 2 in the 90s. And then that, even though they're really bad, but Cheaper by the Dozen. And Bringing Down the House.
I have a feeling.
When was Bowfinger? Was that in the 90s?
Bowfinger was 99.
Okay.
I liked Bowfinger, but I don't think it was a hilarious hit.
Dang.
We're all not mentioning a movie that needs to be mentioned, and that's Three Amigos.
Oh, see? That's what happens.
It's been far too long since I've seen it.
Because I could watch that movie right now.
Over and over.
Just laugh and laugh and laugh.
I need to see it again.
And everyone has funny parts in that. Like, one of the funniest Steve Martin moments is when he's, like, on the wall, and he's trying, hey, you, car, Hey, guys, look up here, look up here, look up here. They're like 3 feet
it's
below.
So stupid.
It's so good.
Oh, man. Well, if it's light beer, we'll have three. Yeah, it's seriously, Three Amigos is one of the most perfect movies
it's
ever
so
made.
It's so good.
It's a mail plane.
How can you tell?
Because it's got little balls.
Little balls.
Here's the thing about Three Amigos.
We can take a walk.
Funny story.
Kiss me on the veranda.
I got
your
it.
Lips will be fine.
I got it. I bought it myself, and then somebody thought that I didn't have it for some reason, and bought it for me. And then I put it. I moved in with a lady.
Three Amigos.
Years and years ago. Yeah, Three Amigos. Uh-huh. I moved with a lady years and years ago. That was years before my lovely bride.
Right.
And we lived in a garage. Or sorry, we put all the movies and stuff in the garage because I have a ton of movies.
Yeah.
And that we lived in a small place, and so we put all of my movies in the garage. Well, our garage got broken into, and they stole all of my movies except my two copies of Three Amigos. And I'm like, what?
You're like, thank you, criminals.
But to me, I'm like, really? There was two. You didn't want one.
You stole. You took one and left L.A. Story. Left.
You took SLC Punk, but you didn't take one Three Amigos story. Like, it just was the weirdest deal.
I love Three Amigos. It's a great, one of the best movies. Yeah,
it's really funny when he's. I mean, like every beat of that movie.
Uh huh.
Gonna make it. Gonna make it. Gonna make it. It's so good.
All right, that's on my list of rewatch.
Do you not know this movie like the best? Like,
no,
like
I
can
the back of my hand. Know. Yep, I do not.
Oh man,
I know that's shameful, but I could go.
It is shameful. At least
Roxanne
when you
and L.A. Story.
At least
and,
when you watch Three Amigos again, it's going to be new and it's going to be funny.
It will
as hell,
be great,
just like the first time you saw it. But yeah. Three Amigos. I can't even. When they shoot, like when he shoots the invisible swordsman, do you shoot in the air? No, you shot him. It's just so stupid.
I'm
traveling
to
the singing bush. Yeah,
I'm looking up the. Sorry,
for
his movies because I wanted to, like I mean, Saturday Night Live. Here's the other thing: Planes, Trains, Automobiles. Yeah. Jesus, see, we didn't mention that.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
The other thing too is that like he was on Saturday Night Live and he was the only person who wasn't a cast member.
Right.
Who was, they kept asking him to be a cast member, and he kept saying no, which I think is phenomenal. And they still do it, let him do it. Pink Panther. Pink Panther 1, when he's trying to say burger, hamburger.
Hamburger.
Is so, you think it's
burger.
When I saw it in the previews, I was like, this is so dumb.
Yeah.
And then I saw it and I laughed like 17 times. Because he just keeps it going.
Burger.
And in my mind, there's like, there's, you see, he still gets what's funny.
Because
he knows this is dumb, but the joke is going to happen when it keeps going and going and going and going.
Well, that's like one of my favorite Steve Martin moments, which is what, when I was a kid, I thought he was on SNL, because one of my favorite early SNL moments is him and Bill Murray, and they're just doing, what the hell is that? Hey, what the hell is
the
that
hell
thing
is that?
Over there? And they're some literally kind of, just standing there pointing like past the camera. Hey, what the hell is that?
Some kind of turd?
Oh, I know what that thing is. Wait. No, it's not. What the hell is that thing? And that's the whole thing. That's the whole skit. For
it's a like he has some. If you haven't seen him, so my wife for not this Christmas but last Christmas I think got me the Steve Martin box set that they released, and it's like it's all his like specials, because he used to have like Steve Martin specials, and they are so amazing.
I need copies of those. Then
I gotta find it.
I haven't
just watched it again. Mixed Nuts was amazing. What was the other one?
Sergeant Bilko. Mixed Nuts. Who's in Mixed Nuts?
There's a lot of people in Mixed Nuts. 1994.
Oh, I just watched that.
Madeline Kahn, Robert Klein, Anthony LaPaglia, Rob Reiner, Adam Sandler.
Yep, that's a good one.
Yeah, they're all stuck in an apartment on Christmas.
Yep.
House Sitter's very... Oh, dude, we haven't even talked about Leap of Faith.
Leap of Faith is a good movie.
Is so good.
That's a fun movie.
Like, that's when you're like, oh, he's also like an amazing actor.
I'm trying to think
actor.
What the theme song is to that. It's like there's a gospel song that, like, from Leap.
Are you ready for a miracle?
There we go.
That's what it is. Like, every time during Shamu's Christmas Miracles or whatever, when they would sing that song, I'd be in the back, like, doing the Steve Martin thing. Because it's so...
Todd being Todd.
Okay. Parenthood is amazing.
Dude, Parenthood is a great one of my. That's one that I would call in my top 10 all time.
He's amazing in it.
The movie's great.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. We haven't talked about Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
That's one that I've also that I need to watch again.
Dude, excuse me. I have to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
Oh, and then let's also talk about Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, my God.
Because he's amazing in Little Shop of Horrors.
Yep.
All of Me, we talked about Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is one of the...
That was one that was kind of like the other ones that kind of bombed, where you're like, that's a weird movie.
Well, that
movie.
Was the one he did after Pennies from Heaven.
Yeah, so there was like two black and whites in a row.
So he was in Sergeant right? Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Which was great. He was Sergeant Maxwell.
And then he was on... and then The Jerk. He was in The Muppet Movie.
I love him in the Muppet movie. He's the great waiter movie. That brings the wine.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so good.
Phone call for Miss Piggy. You, Miss Piggy? Phone.
Pennies from Heaven.
Penises.
Penises from Heaven.
Yeah.
And then Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid. And Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid was like, it's one of those things
you
where
didn't
I'm
mention,
like.
So go ahead.
No, Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is one of those things where I really enjoyed watching it later. I think if I saw it at the time when I was a kid, I would have hated it. But now that I can watch it and like see what he did, because it's a genius movie.
Yeah, and I saw it as a,
you know what he did,
as a very
right?
young person. No. He probably took an old movie.
So he took scenes from old Private Eye movies from like the 40s.
And reenacted 50s. Them?
No. He edited himself into them. So like, he's the only person in the movie.
Really?
That's there in that time period.
Okay, I did not know that.
So yeah, so every shot of him is edited in with all these other movies to create one movie.
Interesting.
And it's like, yeah, that's why you go like...
That's probably why the vibe of it, like when I'm watching it.
It's super weird, but yeah. Like once you... figure out what he did and then you watch it, you're like, this is maybe one of the most genius movies of all time.
Huh.
So Dead Men Don't Wear Plaid is amazing. Pennies from Heaven is the same thing where it's like it's really dark and it really falls off in the second hour. It's right. Like, what is going on? But it's a musical where like no one sings. They all sing dub lyrics. They all sing dub songs.
Okay.
They're all dancing but it's super dark, and that's why I kind of like it, because it's like so extremely dark, and then all of a sudden they're doing these big production numbers. And the one song that everyone thinks is like Pennies from Heaven, you're like, every time it rains, but it won't happen. Well, they don't sing it like that. They sing it as this like slow operatic song, and it's like everything about that movie is just weird and off, which I like kind of love, you know, until the second half, and then it's
and then you're like, what?
Now, did you ever see The Spanish Prisoner?
I did. I love The Spanish Prisoner.
Yeah.
Mamet.
That's Mamet. Yeah. I was going to say, that's Mamet, and that's probably Steve Martin, like, getting to a certain point in his career as a performer, as an entertainer, where he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm guessing. He's probably a big fan of Mamet, and Mamet's probably like, Steve Martin, hell yeah, I'll come be in my movie. And wrote a part for him.
I do have to go, but I, sorry, but we have been talking for a long longer than I think you think.
It's time.
But I do want to end with my favorite Steve Martin thing that I've seen. I found it on the box set, which is where he goes to the AFI celebration of Gene Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets up and stands. This was like, you know, like early 90s or late 80s. And he stands up and he's like, I know what you're all thinking. And I think you're right. Like, it is important that I say something tonight. Because at the time, like, you know, he was, like, the funny comedian that was, like, a big star. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't legend status yet,
right.
But he was getting there. And he goes, I just want to tell a funny story about one time when I visited Gene on set. He was filming this movie, and it just started raining. You know, it just started pouring rain, and then the director... And he says all their real names. I can't remember. He's like, the director was, you know, says, I'm just pissed off, Steve. I don't know what to do. We're supposed to film this big dance scene. It just starts raining. And what am I going to do? I got to send everybody home. We're going to waste the whole day and got to come back. And he's like, wait a minute. I say, wait a minute. Use it. So Gene starts dancing around. We start filming the movie. Everybody's going on. And we start doing this great dance number in the rain. And they're like, wait, hold everything. We got this giant lamppost in the middle of the set, and we didn't move it. We got to cut everything. We got to get somebody in here to remove the lamppost. And I said, hey, wait a minute. I got a great idea. Everybody's like laughing hysterically, and I forget what the tag is, but he's like, that movie, The Bridge of a River Kwai, or something like that. Like, he doesn't, it's not the name of the movie, but it's right. like something like
right.
that, where
right.
it's like
exactly.
not the movie at all. Right. It's so amazing. If you didn't get the Steve Martin box set, I encourage you to do it.
Well, it's just like all those small little moments that he did, like the SNL, like. My Christmas list is number one, world peace.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe like, okay, hold on. No. Strike that.
Yeah, it's so funny.
Maybe like $100,000.
Steve Martin is he's just a genius.
That's it. Yeah. He's got, that's like the joke also that like I use all the time. Where he's like, I want to leave you with something my father told me. He's like, it's something very important to me, something I say every night. Great. It's like a mantra of mine. Believe it with all my heart, and I want to share it with you tonight. I want you guys to take it home with you. So my father always said to me, he said, son, always, no wait, never.
It's so good. So brilliant.
That's a funny joke that you could tell to anybody and just drag it on for so long. And then it's like, always, no. Never.
Yeah, nope.
My favorite stand-up joke that he ever did is, he's like, I was dating this girl and we were making out and it was getting hot and heavy and she wanted to go back to her place and so we did and tell you what, she had the best pussy. And people in the audience are like, oh. And he's like, now wait a minute, get your minds out of the guy. I can't believe you. Talking about her cat. Oh my god. That cat was the best fuck I ever had.
I remember the scream on the comedy album. Like after he says it.
That's fantastic.
So couldn't funny. Stop laughing. Yeah. All right, I gotta go.
Yeah, thanks for being here, man. You're awesome. Check out his comedy album on iTunes and Amazon Music.
An Evening of This.
With Dallas McLaughlin. It's $8.99. Buy it, rate it, review it, all that good stuff that you can do on iTunes because it's very funny. And it's worth
burn
$9.
Burn it, bring it back next week. Just kidding.
Buy one and rip a copy for everyone you know so we only get paid
back
once.
Credit or everything.
There you go.
Tower Records.
Records,
don't forget your receipt. Buying CDs, take them back, or burning CDs, bring them back next week.
Was that you that posted the video, the bad credit video on Facebook?
I posted one recently. Like I might post another
ago.
One. In the
good
last
few.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Good stuff, whatever.
Oh,
it was.
There is. Bad
credit.
I was like, wait a second.
What?
On
is
my other
this?
Podcast, Dallas, I'm doing a thing, dude. I'm telling you, I'm doing a thing about bad credit, about that whole group of people, about Reeve Oliver, about Brad. I'm telling you, I'm a lucky guy, man. When I came in here to San Diego and came into town and got to like bring in, thanks to you.
You met the big guns right off the bat.
Yeah, Dallas was one of the first people I met when I came into town. And I started at SeaWorld and he took me under his wing and treated me very kindly. And it's something that I am forever appreciative of.
Aw, man.
And I'm honored to call you my friend.
Well, I mean, you know, I wish I could say, ditto, but...
He's got to go. He's got a heart out.
Yeah, I got to go. No, that's very sweet of you to say. I mean, honestly, we've talked about this a million times, but, like, anybody who can quote Gary Gunross, like, you can...
That's what I wanted to do.
We're instant friends because of that. It was just, like, one of those things. And it was fun. That was that time when we were all at the Blarney and doing stuff. I mean, that was a really fun time.
That was a great time.
Everyone was peaking in
their creativity.
We all kind of got to be in a place where we could do what we wanted to do and make a little, make enough money to pay the rent and keep it going. And it's nice. I mean, some of us from that group have gone off to do things and continue doing it. And some of us, you know, work at SeaWorld and
some of us tour the world and
and some people won Emmys. No big deal.
Well, wait,
that's this guy. That's right here. Emmy award winning Dallas McLaughlin.
We'll see. That's very sweet. It's been nice, and I'm glad that we've been able to do a podcast and keep things going and try to keep it all going. Keep the creativity flowing.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. I'm with you.
But now get out of here.
Okay, listen, guys. And if you like TV podcasts, please listen to Sean O'Donnell and I's podcast.
Dishing the Percolator.
Yeah. We watch Twin Peaks.
Now,
we watch
don't
an episode
drink
of
that coffee.
We watch Twin Peaks, and we watch an episode that we talk about it. Sean's like a humongous fan of the show and seen it a million times. I've never seen it, so I watch it for the first time. He watches it for the 8 millionth time, and then we talk about the show.
That's a great concept.
It's really fun, and we're halfway through, we're almost done with season two, and our plan is to finish just in time for season three to come out.
And how many are there?
There's two seasons, and I think the second season's like 22 episodes, and we're on episode 16. Mm-hmm. So we're almost done with season two. But season 3 comes out, a new one on Showtime.
Yep.
And once that
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's great. That's so timely.
Like 20 years later.
That's awesome.
So as soon as we're done, we'll be able to pick up with season 3.
That
is and then we'll both be watching it for the first time. And
speaking, everybody should listen to that.
Yeah. And speaking from experience, I haven't seen the show either, but you can listen to the show and not seen the show, and it still makes sense.
Yeah, we talk a lot about the show. We talk a lot about other stuff.
Yeah, it's good. It's just a good listen.
Like, we got into a fight about Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Because she directed an episode of Twin Peaks.
Nice.
What?
Yeah, man. So,
back in the day?
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah, 1991.
Not one of the new ones.
1991, she directed an episode of Twin Peaks. She also directed an episode of China Beach and some other
Dana
stuff.
Dana Delaney.
But anyway, so Dish and the Percolator, you know, it's on iTunes.
Check it out.
It's a fun podcast if you.
And
like
Everything's Fine.
We haven't recorded in forever.
What was the last one?
I know, but
we might be done. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's waiting to break out into a new format.
Who
you guys
knows?
Hit your stride with the last election.
I think it's a value.
Where are you going to go from there?
Yeah, we had a lot of fun doing it, and we wanted to still do it. It's just it's so time consuming.
Not only that, it's tough right now. Like because emotions are so high.
You feel like you're repeating yourself, and also at the same time, with when it comes to Trump and stuff, like it's hard because. We have to look at it from a perspective of the fact that everything is still fine. That's
right.
The point of the podcast, because it really is. And like at the end of the day, it's hard to tell people that,
right?
Because they're like, "Well, what about this?" And I'm like, "Well, did you wake up?
Yeah.
Did your lights turn on?
Yep.
Do you have running water?
Yep.
Were you allowed to get on the radio and say? Were you allowed to record a podcast and say whatever
say
the hell you wanted to say?
Yeah.
Everything's fine." All right, we're not in a dictatorship where your head just got cut off because you said Trump's an asshole.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's hard to do it, and I would love to keep going, and if we can, we do it. It's on iTunes. Everything's fine. It's fun, and we'll try.
We'll
to
see
do
what
it.
Happens with it.
But and then the Kept Faith,
the Kept
yeah,
Faith
is on
is,
Voice
yeah,
of San Diego out, Network. Yeah. It's weekly San Diego sports podcast.
Thriving.
And sometimes you're on it, and sometimes you're there.
It's been hard to get down since we moved to Temecula. It's been hard to do it, but it's...
You phone in for, like, the first 5 seconds of the show?
The last two is... The last... Yeah, that was a mess.
I listen. I know because I listen.
Jared's our resident listener.
It's fun.
I listen to everyone.
The Kept Faith is really fun. If you like San Diego sports, I mean... There are now a lot of
San Diego
sports podcasts.
Yeah.
To the goals, bro.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
It's true.
Then please give it a listen.
Yeah.
We do,
it's good stuff.
They do good. Nick's great. And,
Nick
and,
is great.
Nick is the man.
And you guys get really big name in San Diego sports.
We
names,
get
guests.
Yeah, we get great guests, and it's really fun.
Yeah,
so,
it's cool. So basically, what we're saying is Dallas is amazing and super talented, and so find him and follow him and do all that stuff because you won't
Buy
be disappointed in any of it.
Sweet. Thank
and,
you, guys.
Other than that, thanks for being here. That's Life's a Binge this week. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
And we'll see you on the couch.
Life's a Binge! Bow, 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 bow.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes, Podomatic, and Stitcher. Follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. And be sure and check out lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the couch.
Life moves pretty fast.